Now to a Bryant Park Project follow-up. Our goal is to keep track of stories that have drifted from the front page. Another Gina 6 protest is scheduled for today in Washington, D.C. Not a huge one like that September 20th rally, which brought thousands to the small Louisiana town where five of six black students were charged with attempted second-degree murder after a fight with a white student. Now, since then, one of the teenagers, Michael Bell, was convicted of aggravated assault. He was in jail, but that changed 5 days ago. Here to get us up to speed and to help us sort through some of the shifting facts in the case, someone who has been covering this story from the beginning, before all the mainstream media descended on Gina, Louisiana. Howard Witt is the Southwest Bureau Chief for the Chicago Tribune. And Howard, now Michael Bell is out of jail. It happened, I think, as of last Thursday. What happened?
Well, he was released on bail, and that came about because his conviction was actually overturned. An appellate court found that he was wrongfully tried as an adult. He should have been tried as a juvenile. So his case is now going to go through juvenile court, and he still stands charged with the serious felony of attempted second-degree battery. But at least in this case, he's going to be tried now as a juvenile rather than as an adult.
And he will be in juvenile court today, is that right?
Yes, he has. There's some motion hearings in his case, but it's not expected that anything major is going to happen in today's hearing.
All right. So I understand also that family members of Gina 6, they continue to be quite vocal, even though the media spotlight has shifted a little bit. They've been giving various press conferences. What have they been talking about?
Well, yes, it's interesting what's happening now. We're seeing a phase in this story, which you often see with big stories, and that is kind of the pushback part. And that's where people start to question whether the story really was what it looked to be. And so what the families are finding is they're kind of on the defensive now as they appear at various press conferences, because several commentators and writers, not to mention a bunch of white supremacist websites, have started to suggest that the story has somehow been twisted and that it really didn't happen the way it was portrayed. And I'm here to tell you that that's not the case.
It's interesting. I'm glad we do have you here, because there was this Associated Press article that came out last week suggesting that some of the facts had been morphed over time. Can I run a couple of these by you?
Absolutely.
It was originally reported that three nooses were dangling from this white's only tree, and that was part of the why there were racial tensions around this high school and around town. How many nooses were actually hanging from the tree?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was one of the people who reported that it was three nooses, because that's what I was told when I was in Gina reporting this story back in April of this year, before anyone else was down there. It's since come out that school officials are now saying, well, it wasn't three nooses, it was two nooses. So I guess maybe it was two nooses, although they were telling me three nooses 6 months ago. My point is, what difference does it make?
Sure.
Three nooses, two nooses, it was nooses hanging in a tree.
Now, the three students accused of hanging the nooses, originally it was reported they were suspended for just 3 days. Were they actually sent to another school?
Again, we have a situation where I sat down with the school superintendent, a man named Roy Breithaupt, last April, asked him what was the punishment. He said they were suspended for 3 days. Now the school officials are saying, well, they weren't just suspended for 3 days. These white students were also sent to an alternative school for a couple of weeks and given some weekend, I think, some kind of detention or something like that. Again, maybe that's the case. But what's happening is, now that the national scrutiny has come into this town, a lot of these folks are kind of backpedaling, if you will, and trying to change the way in which the story is viewed. But the way in which the superintendent himself told me it happened was that the principal of the school had originally recommended that those three white students be expelled for having hung those white nooses in the tree, but that principal was overridden by the school board and by Mr. Breithaupt, the superintendent, who decided that this was really just a childish prank. It wasn't a serious offense, and therefore such a severe punishment as expulsion was not warranted.
Let's talk about the bigger picture. Quickly, the House Judiciary Committee Chairman John Conyers from Michigan says he's intent on holding congressional hearings on the case. Has he gotten any traction there?
Well, it's not clear who he's going to call or when he's going to hold these hearings, if he does. He came out and said that after a meeting with Al Sharpton last week, and of course, Al Sharpton is very much in the business of drawing attention to himself as well as his causes. It certainly is the case that the Congressional Black Caucus, as well as even the Democratic presidential candidates, have all taken notice of this case and making pretty strong comments about it. So it does seem as if there's going to be some continuing repercussions on Capitol Hill, but we'll have to see if they're really serious about having hearings and calling people forward as witnesses.
Howard Witt, can we check back with you on this story in the upcoming weeks?
Happy to do it.
Appreciate it. Howard is the Southwest Bureau Chief for the Chicago Tribune. And tomorrow, Luke, we're going to continue this discussion and try to put the Gina Six case in perspective in terms of the bigger civil rights movement, if there is a civil rights 2.0 movement, and what it'll take to move that forward.
What did this actually mean? Did it accomplish what it was supposed to accomplish? All that stuff.